You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
12 straight weeks in National Football League, that's tough. That's hard on the body. You saw Max Crosby did a hell of a job coming out there. Colton Miller coming back. For those guys to come back and now have an extra, you know, 7 or so days to get ready before we play the Vikings is huge for our team. It's also an opportunity for us to reset mentally. You know, it's been a lot of trying times this year. You know, a lot of ups and downs. And you sit back, you reset, you think about it, spend some time with your family, you start missing football again. That Friday, that Saturday, Sunday, you're not playing. Get these guys back in the building on Monday and we're ready to roll.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
And just like that, we're kicking off hour number 3 of the show, Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920, rolling along on this Thursday on the bye week. And I'll tell you what, just because there's no game on Sunday doesn't mean that anything is slowed down around here. Around these parts, around Normandy and Weston, what we call a bye week. We call a... No, I'm just kidding. That's the wrong movie. Wrong movie! Right now, my guy Jason, a.k.a. Twilight, was like, oh, I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. We call that a little twin, right? Like, Ari was like, oh, man, I'm on that one, too. Know all about it. But, yeah, we're good, man. Excited about the way that we just roll along here on Raider Nation Radio 920. A lot of great feedback from Raider Nation. Obviously, on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R, and the Raider Nation listener line at 702-365-9200. Great guest each and every day. Vinny Bonsignore led us off earlier. Gilbert Manzano, SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback. We heard from Lincoln Kennedy. Really good stuff from him as well. Got some assistant coaches that we'll hear from throughout the course of the show. Still, we got 1 hour long, 1 hour strong. Rob Leonard, the defensive line coach, we'll hear from him. Possibly running back coach Kennedy Polamalu. We'll have time for him as well. So we'll try to get those in before we get wrapped up on the show. We do have our Week 13 NFL picks coming up in a hot second. But before we do that, I want to hit up the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. And this one's from Mailman Raider. Q, I'd love to see a Meek truly solidify himself. If he already hasn't as a starter on this team, and so one, Q Myers doesn't write him off for a third straight offseason, LOL. All of the Raiders right now, I think, root for him the most. He got that dog, Q, that's Mailman Raider. That's real. I'd love to see them just go ahead and give him a contract extension so I don't have to even worry about that conversation anymore. But it's not just me. Like, I'll own it. And we've actually, me and Amik have actually talked about it. You know, that he's always written off by multiple people every year. I know Vic Tafer kept him off his 53-man roster when he put his piece out. I know Vinny did. I know I did, right? And I was like, he was right there. He was on the fringe. And there you go. But he always finds a way to stay on the roster and make plays. And he makes so many plays. It's so funny. And he always, I told you guys, I told you. And really, even after a loss, that loss that the Raiders suffered to Kansas City on Sunday, just to hear the emotion in his voice, the fact that he was so angry, obviously angry about that loss, and didn't mind saying we're better than that team. Didn't mind putting it out there. I could really appreciate that. So, yeah, Amik is a guy that I think not only do the players in the locker room root for, I think just the Raider Nation, I think the fan base in general pulls for. Got a text from Raider James. He said, I'd like to see the continuous progression of Aiden O'Connell. Either Aiden is really smart and going to be really good, or Bo Hardegree is a genius. Rookie quarterbacks are not supposed to progress so fast. I think we have our franchise quarterback, and it seems I am in the minority. That's Raider James. And that's okay. Being in the minority is okay. I'm still on the fence. I'm not going to lie to you. And if Aiden O'Connell was sitting in the room right now, I'd tell him right now, hey, I'm still on the fence, dude. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. I just want to see more. And I think part of seeing more is Bo Hardegree and company opening up the offense a little bit more. Like Prue Tucky called earlier before the hour got wrapped up, second hour of the show. Want to see more. Take the... You know, the restraints off. Take the training wheels off a little bit. If that's your guy, let him go out there and sling it. Now, I'm not saying go get reckless, but just see, I want to see a little bit more. And I think that that's fair. You want to be able to have a great idea of, yes, this is the guy, or no, this isn't the guy. I don't think you want to go into the offseason and think, well, he might be able to be the guy. If that's the case, something went wrong. You didn't see enough, and you didn't allow him to show enough. That's all. So it's okay to be in the minority. Like I said before, I was going to be late to the Lions party. I was the last swinging D that showed up to the Lions party. Well, it's good for me. Showing up to parties late is fine. So I can end up being the last guy to show up to Aiden O'Connell's party, and that's okay too, right? It's just once you get there, just let it be known. Hey, man, I was wrong. Okay, cool. Or hey, now I feel very confident saying that that's the dude moving forward. I'm okay with that. That's all right. You're just there a little bit early. That's all right. You're getting everything warmed up for us. There's nothing wrong with that. This is from the 707. I'd love to see the team play with straight-up fight no matter what. I want all of us to be left wanting more at the end. And Q, doesn't a great vacuum salesman leave the customer wanting more? Yes, absolutely. Referencing to my days as a Kirby salesman. I've actually, believe it or not, had multiple people hit me up about the Kirby conversation that we had on the show. And multiple people backed up what I said about the Kirbys, that they're the best vacuums out there. And I do believe that. I just wouldn't pay $2,000 for it. You know, that's full price. But I can give you a good deal right now. I don't need to get back into that. I don't need to resell you. Ari's like, oh, Lord, here we go. He's going to try to resell me again. No, I know how to get my hands on one.
You do strike me as the type, though, when it's like, I don't know, $200 and it's for sale for $250 when you say, like, for you, I'll do $200 because you're my friend.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt.
When it's really $200 anyway, like they did on Black Friday, like everything's marked down, but it's really.
No. That's the sign of a good salesman.
There you
go. Absolutely. There's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, look, I'd walk in a house and tell them that the vacuum was a $2,000 machine when really, like, the price that we were really selling it for was $1,700. But that's cool. That would be the discount that I gave him. I'd get it down to $1,700. And then, because you, Ari, are a really good guy and I want to make the best deal I can for you, I'm going to take your broken vacuum that I showed is already broken and I put outside so my manager is driving around in the van could see that I'm doing my job and that I've already proven that your vacuum is broken. I'm going to give you $250 for that broken vacuum.
Just for me?
It's just for you. Only you. Don't tell your neighbors. Please don't tell your neighbors because then they'll be angry at me. Q, how come he got a discount? Why is Ari special and I'm not? All right, I'll have to give you a discount, too.
I'll give you the same because you're special, too, right?
Exactly. Right. Look, I'll tell you this, and then I'll move on.
Then you get these picks.
No. Yeah, we'll get the picks next. The way we used to get – it was the hardest part of that job for me, was getting in the house. Like, me getting into your house was always the hardest job. But the go-to line that we used and that worked more times than not for me is that I'm a college student – working on getting credits, and I need to demonstrate this vacuum 3 times a day to get my college credits. That was the easiest way for me to get in, and it still didn't guarantee I was going to get in the house. It was very difficult. I actually used to pay a girl to knock the doors and get me in, and then they thought that the nice young girl was going to come show the demonstration. Then all of a sudden I arrived. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you.
The old bait and switch.
Exactly. So, look, there's levels to the game, man. There's levels to the game. Hey. I don't mind telling the secrets because I ain't never going back to that job.
Those are all time-tested things, too, that work, right?
Oh, they work. Hey. Oh, yeah, they work. Oh, don't, come on now.
And everyone listening knows you bought something from somewhere or someone.
Do you watch TV? Have you seen the commercials on TV?
Tom Brady says, what about Hurts or whatever?
No, I'm just saying, like, look at the commercials that you see on TV.
Yeah.
It appears to be one thing, and then it ends up being another. Right? There's no doubt. Sometimes. Like, everyone has window dressing. And so I had no problem having window dressing either. Like, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, nice, trustworthy young lady. Hey, I have my crew in town. We're just going to do some demonstrations. College kids just trying to, you know, do the right thing, stay out of trouble. You know, okay, that's great. We'll just demonstrate one room. It'll take us about 30 minutes at the most. 30 minutes. I'll be in that house for 2.5 hours, Jack. They'd be like, man, when is this dude leaving? Why is this dude here again? Oh, yeah, he wants money. Yeah.
Just take the money. Get out here. I'll take the vacuum. Just go. Please.
I'll take the vacuum to get you out of my house.
Trying to have dinner.
Oh, I had I had dinner. I would have dinner with.
Jeez.
I sold a Kirby in Santa Cruz, California, on Mexican Mother's Day, and I learned all about it. And that's the only reason that I even knew that there was a differential between Mother's Day that we celebrate and Mexican Mother's Day. I can't tell you right now what the date is. Shame on me. But I do know that there's a difference, and I learned it because I sold a Kirby on that day in Santa Cruz, California. So there's that. Fun fact. Santa Cruz was a hot spot for me. Tracy, California was a hot spot. Modesto, when their houses were just coming up, that was a hot spot. And then we actually traveled to Vegas one time and had a weekend in Vegas and sold vacuums as well. I didn't do so well in Vegas for obvious reasons. I was kind of preoccupied. That was not a return trip. And May 10th, yes, that's the date. Thank you, Ari. May 10th, that is the date. And so I sold a vacuum on that day, and the lady told me all about it, and she gave me some beans and rice for dinner.
Wait for it.
I know. The wife's going to be like, see? See? Yeah, I told you beans and rice is good.
You're just stacking up all the conversations now. We got Bentleys and beans and rice.
I know. Yeah. She's gonna sit me down like the principal. I'm going to need you to come into my office. Come here, husband. I'm going to need you to sit down in my office. First of all, what's this Bentley conversation? What's this beans and rice conversation? I'm not taking any more of this Hallmark Channel slander. You're going to have to take your sorry butt back to the radio station. You better go and get in that Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Man.
This studio Q is getting shut
studio
down.
Q.
She's going to pull a John Taffer. Shut it down!
She is the owner, from what I understand. She designed and put it all together.
She designed and put it together.
She has a final say in everything.
Absolutely. There is no studio Q if the wife didn't put it together.
Hey,
I will go to my grave and tell you that.
Shout out to the wife.
No doubt about it. Shout out to her. She's like, don't clean it up now. Don't clean it up now. All right. You hear the music.
Put some
music.
It's time. Calm the mood here.
That's right. Calm the mood. Get me out of trouble, man. Do something good for your country.
Nah.
All right, here we go. Week 13 action. Why don't you go ahead and go over week 12. Tell us how we did.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. I did. I lost it already. I was 10-6, and you were 9-7?
No, I was 8-8.
Really?
Yes.
See, sometimes I give extra the wrong way.
I know, but that just proves that your math is always wrong.
Maybe I was 9-7 then. I don't know.
I can't count.
You know what? I didn't bring the sheet because I figured
9-7 would only be
That's 16.
Oh, that would
so
be
duh.
Way. Yeah, I can't count either. Obviously.
I think I got that. I think I got it. But
I went eight and eight. I know I went 8-8. I had a terrible week. I lost the first game on Thanksgiving. The Lions. They got beat by the Packers.
Same.
I lost Tampa Bay and the Colts. Indianapolis won that one. I foolishly went with New England over the Giants. Lost that one. The Texans lost to the Jaguars. I lost four games in a row. I lost the Patriots at Giants, Jacksonville at Houston, Cleveland at Denver, and Arizona hosting the Rams. I lost all four of those.
That's the only one that you're on the hook for, if you ask me. The other three could have gone, especially the Giants and Patriots. Nobody knew that was going to be such a dumpster fire.
And then Minnesota squeaked out an ugly victory over Chicago.
Yeah.
I didn't. No. I lost that one because Minnesota lost.
Correct. Same
Yeah,
here.
Minnesota lost, and so I picked Minnesota.
A lot of uglies last week for sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you, and that's why I only got you by one game, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of Bubba Sparks last week.
Ah, good one, good one. All right, well, this week we're starting off strong, I think, maybe sort of, kind of. Seattle is in Dallas, who was favored with 9.5 points. Coming off that whatever 40-something banger the other
day. I got the Cowboys, man. They have won a bazillion games at home. They're averaging a ton of points at home. Seattle, they started out pretty hot in the season, and not so much now. So I definitely got the Cowboys. 9.5 points is a lot, but I'll trust that the Cowboys will get it done at home.
Cooling off. I'll add this quick stat from our buddy Trey Wingo, who may show up next week on the show. The Cowboys are averaging over 30 points per game and giving up less than 17. The last two teams to average that for an entire season, the 99 Rams and the 91 Commanders.
There you go. There you go.
Both
one quick
went on
text.
To win the Super Bowl. Sorry.
Nice. One quick text. Raider Dad Bod said, hey, brother, Q, Mexican Mother's Day is always May 10th. So there you go. Now I will never forget it. So you confirmed it, and Raider Dad Bob confirmed, or Dad Bod confused.
Madre Dia?
Yeah, all that.
Dia
all that
de Madre?
There you go.
Like that.
There you go.
All right.
All right, what's next?
Over to Sunday. That was the primetime game, as you know, tonight. And then 10 a.m. on Sunday, the Colts are in Tennessee.
The Colts are 6-5. Tennessee is 4-7. I don't know how this happened, but I like what Will Levis is bringing to the table. So I'm going to go with the 1.5-point favorite. No, I'm not. No, Indianapolis is actually favored by 1.5-point favorite. I'm going to go with the underdog. I'll roll with Tennessee.
Oh, that's good news for me. I'm going with Indianapolis, and I'm going to bring Nuggets this time so I can at least justify some of these picks, right?
Yeah, please do.
Week 5, I believe it was, the Colts beat the Titans. And at the time, I don't think they had Jonathan Taylor, so I'm going to take them again for this one.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. The Chargers are in New England.
L.A. Really? New England's a dumpster fire, man. They're 2-9. They are terrible. They don't know what they're doing with their quarterback position. Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, right? They just have no idea.
Just There's just nothing positive to kind of bank, to hook your win on for them, right?
Like, no, no.
Not even the coach.
So. Right, so the Chargers are 5.5-point favorites. I definitely think L.A. gets that one done.
I am the same. 10 a.m., Detroit is in New Orleans. That's my tricky team.
They are struggling, man. The Saints, look, and I'm not here to say I told you so, point fingers, or laugh at anybody, but, man, I'm seeing some of the reports. Ross Jackson, good friend of the show and also part of the podcast network that we work for, Locked On, he's Locked On Saints, and I see tweets from him all the time talking about the red zone struggles of the Saints and Derek Carr this and Derek Carr that, and I was like, wow, that turned real fast. They've only played 11 games, and I remember when they signed DC, they were so excited, like they thought that they got the dude, right? And, man, he's been everything but that. They've been trying to run him out of town for about 4 or 5 weeks. That's wild how quickly that changed. So even Alvin Kamara kind of throwing some like low-key digs at D.C. when he's being interviewed by media members. So Michael Thomas, same thing. Michael Thomas, I don't know if you saw him on Twitter the other day. He said, you are nothing like Kobe. And you know Kobe is D.C.'s guy. And he said that on Twitter, you are nothing Kobe-like or something like that. I was like, dang, this is rough.
I mean, it's true.
It is.
That's not
still,
even an insult. But
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
you,
yeah,
don't,
yeah.
You don't see players like throwing – shots like that at their quarterback, even low-key. I mean, he didn't say his name, but you knew what he was talking about. I mean,
you keep that between your friends, not on Twitter. But
right. Yeah, I got the Lions in this one. I say all that to say I got the Lions.
Right.
All
right, I do too, and I'll just say I think they're really – more than New Orleans not winning, it's about the Lions coming off that loss that should not have been a loss. So they're hungry. Mm-hmm. All right, our favorite team, Atlanta Falcons, are in New York against those Jets. With or without Aaron Rodgers? No, without Aaron Rodgers.
Tim Boyle's the quarterback. It's funny, last night on ESPN Radio, I actually picked the Jets only because my guy, Emmett Golden, he was talking trash. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna pick the Jets just because. So I did.
Wow.
Just because I wanted to show my backside a little bit. So I'm going to pick Atlanta. It's against my better judgment only because I don't know who they are. And the Jets do have a good defense, but at some point that defense is going to run out. And they're going to say, you know what, the hell with this. This is terrible. Our offense stinks. So I'm going to go with Atlanta, see what happens, see if they burn me one more time.
So you're willing to take the risk against me, but with Emmett.
No, because I'm trying to get them right here.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm – we have a different contest on ESPN that I'm doing really well in, and so I take really seriously. This one I take really seriously as well, but we only do 3 games on ESPN. We're doing the whole schedule here.
Okay, fair enough.
So there's that. Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, I'm also taking the Falcons. I think it's a really low-scoring game. They'll squeak it out.
Yeah, I agree.
Your buddies, the Cardinals, are in Pittsburgh, who was favored 5.5.
I'm taking Pittsburgh. They fired their offensive coordinator last week. They had a bunch of yards. They didn't score a lot of points, but they got a bunch of yards. Looks like they got a little bit extra juice, and Arizona's 2-10, and Pittsburgh's 7-4. So, yeah, I'm going with the Steelers at home.
Also, playoffs come into play for the Steelers, so they gotta get this win, right? Mm-hmm. Miami in Washington against the
Miami.
Commanders.
I got the Dolphins. There's no explanation. Either.
Yeah, I'm
Washington stinks.
Yep, they're rolling. Miami's just rolling. Okay, this one is interesting. I'm going to use the word legit here. This is interesting because Denver is killing it on the defense. They are, and they're what, 5 wins, 5 games?
5 in a row. Yep.
And Houston, even though they just had the loss just now, I mean, they've been playing really well. C.J. Stroud's amazing. Their favorite 3.5, Houston, the home team. I don't know, Raider Nation. I'm taking the Broncos. I did it. There you go.
I just don't want to even go for the Broncos. I keep thinking that somehow someone's going to snap their winning streak. So I'm got Houston. I like C.J. Stroud. I like the Texans. I like that they're at home. And Denver, man, they started out 1-5, and now all of a sudden they're 6-5. So they're cooking with grease. But I'm still going to ride with C.J. Stroud and Houston, thinking that they can find a way to knock them off. And hopefully they do. Denver's in second place right now in the AFC West. I want to see a losing streak for those guys.
Yeah, same. I got to say, that might be one of the more exciting games this week, too, believe it or not.
For sure. I agree.
So not exciting. Carolina is in Tampa Bay against those Bucks.
I got Carolina in this game. And this is why. No, seriously.
I believe you. I just believe you. It's crazy.
Every time someone gets fired, anytime some team hits with adversity, that very next week you get a little bit of a bump. Case in point. The Raiders fire McDaniels. All of a sudden, they get some juice. The Pittsburgh Steelers fire Matt Canada. All of a sudden, they get some juice. We see it all the time. Time and time again, somebody gets fired. That team rallies around that team regardless for at least 1 week. I think Carolina gets it done this week after firing head coach Frank Reich.
All right. My little note next to it says, Panthers suck and the head coach is gone. So that's my – That's my reasoning for Tampa Bay.
Well, I think that Todd Bowles is going to get fired at the end of the season.
I think you're probably right. So, all right, well, there's another one. We got some parity going on. Moving right along on our Week 13 NFL picks. Cleveland in L.A. against those Rams.
I don't know, but could you have found some more uneventful music? God, this I feel like I'm in, like, Macy's or something. I'm in, like, the chocolate department.
This is the official NFL films music bed.
Well, what kind of film am I watching? I mean, I know you're saying NFL films, but jeez. This feels like I'm in the worst part of the department store and, like, the wife is shopping for something. Like, she's shopping for suitcases or something.
All right, well, we got rid of all the soft stuff.
Gosh.
Going here.
There you go. March. Can you give me something strong?
There you go.
Give me some Kirby vacuum cells.
It's
cell
a 10
sound.
Minute. It's a 10 minute music bed. I mean,
well, that
come
10
on,
minutes felt like
lulls.
25 minutes, man.
Can't
holy
all be
hell.
We can't all be. Never mind.
I need some Ludacris or something. Throw something on that gave me some juice.
All right, I will keep that in mind. Moving forward, we might not have NFL music. We might have some cool hip hop instead.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
You've done it now.
What game are we on now?
We're on the Rams. We're on the Browns and the Rams. And I am, they're in LA. The Rams are favored by 3.5. I'm taking the Browns.
Why?
I just think they're hungry. Their team is a mess. The playoffs are.
What does that even mean?
It means they're without their quarterback.
My man said they're hungry. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm taking the Rams because, well, the Browns, they do have a strong defense. Myles Garrett is a little bit banged up. DTR probably is not going to play. It looks like it might be the Joe Flacco show. Joe Flacco hasn't played in a while. I think he will spit the bit, if you know what I mean. So there's that. I think that the Rams will find a way to squeak this one out. That's why I'm rolling with L.A.
All right. Cute. L.A. Now to the big game. San Francisco in Philly against the Eagles. As you heard earlier, San Fran here on mine is favorited by 3.5.
Yep.
In Philly against the 10-1 Eagles. And I will start. I am going with the Eagles. I know he said it earlier, like it's a cliche, but they do. They always find a way to win. And I don't care if it's by 1 point. I think they're going to get this too. Go to 11-1. Jalen Hurts going to have an amazing game because that's what it's going to take, I think.
Fly, Eagles, fly. That's all I got to say. Fly, Eagles, fly. That's how I'm
That's your note?
Yep, that's my note.
That's worse than they're hungry. No,
no, it's not. At least that's their slogan.
That's accurate, yes.
Man, you said they're hungry like it's a Snickers commercial or something.
Yeah, they need the win
to feel
right about themselves.
You might as well say, want to get away? Fly Southwest.
Get that dub.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they're going to get away.
Unbelievable.
All right, so yeah, that's a big one there. Kansas City is in Green Bay. Their favorite. Kansas City's 6.5-point favorites. I just think they're too much for Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
Defense and offense.
Yep. Kansas City's getting it done. They're 8-3 right now. Green Bay's 5-6. KC's 6.5-point favorites. Definitely think Sunday Night Football, you see the Chiefs getting another victory. And, you know, they're playing some good ball. They really are. They're not doing it the same way that they always do, but they've got a strong defense, as we all very well know. And they've got some weapons starting to come around for Patrick Mahomes and company. So, yeah, KC over Green Bay, there's no doubt.
That's right. And wrapping it all up. Banger on Monday, December 4th, 5:15 primetime. It's Cincinnati, your Burrowless Cincinnati Bengals in Jacksonville against the Jags. And for that reason alone, above all, I'm taking Jacksonville. They're 8.5-point favorites, too.
That's it right there. That's it. No Burrow, no bueno.
I like that.
Right? You like that? No Burrow, no bueno.
Don't you
that's
steal
right.
that, anyone. That's trademark.
Oh, that's a T-shirt. That's going to be a T-shirt. That, like right now. Somebody's printing up a T-shirt right now.
And
I promise you.
So
no Burrow, no bueno. Like Fabian's, you know how he tweets out -4 all the time? He's printing up a T-shirt right now. No Burrow, no bueno for sale for $9.99.
Hey,
get
I
it
like
here.
It. I like
Someone,
it.
Someone's running on the Bay in the Bay Area. Someone's running over to the Coliseum Bridge, and they're posted up right now. Come meet me at the bridge. You know the spot. No Burrow, no bueno. What does that mean? Don't even worry about it. It's exclusive. They're going over to
multicultural with the languages in there.
They're going to what was my spot, man? Oh man, I hate that I can't remember. Someone's gonna be so angry at me that I can't remember. Durant Square. They're making some T-shirts and they're taking it to Durant Square right now. That's what they're doing. That's the swap mall. That's where when you say you're going to Durant Square, it's like, oh, you're gonna go get a mixtape, huh? Oh, you're gonna go get one of those stereos where the face comes off, the face-offs, right? Remember back in the day when you used to take the face off of your stereo?
Blaupunked, yes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, man. Durant Square was my spot, man. Hey, Corey, man, let's roll up to Durant Square real quick. Yeah, that new Master P West Coast Bad Boys Volume 99 is out.
Wow.
All right, let's go get that one. Or the ones that they put together. Oh, man, Tupac's greatest hits that are unreleased is out right now. Knowing someone put that stuff together in their garage or something. You know what I mean? Like, that was a spot.
That was a great time to be around, if I'm being honest.
It was. Look, I only know about it because I was living it. Don't knock it till you did it, homeboy.
That's right.
Durant Square was my spot. Who didn't want to go to the swap mall? Come on, man.
There you have it.
That's how we get down. And then right after that, go to Denny's right down the street. Get you a Grand Slam. Oh, I know you ain't about that Grand
the
Slam.
Moons
life.
Over Miami, is that what they call it?
Oh, yeah, I used to get that. That's good.
I just like to say it.
Yeah, no, there was one, the Meat Lover Scramble. I used to get that. The Meat Lover Scramble, I'd get and I'd get syrup. I'd ask him. It'd usually be like nighttime after the club. I'd go in there and I'd order a Meat Lover Scramble, and I'd say, can you bring me some warm syrup? And they're like, you ain't got no pancakes or no waffles, sir. And I'm like, I know. Just bring some syrup. I didn't ask what I am getting. I'm asking to get. That's all I'm asking for. Let me get some warm syrup. We'll be good to go.
That's Denny's.
Hey, man. Denny's was the fuel that made it happen many a times, brother. Don't knock it until you try it. 4:26 is the time when we come back. Rob Leonard, you'll hear from the Raiders defensive line coach. He met with the media earlier this week. You'll hear him next on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Okay, we all know how much Cleveland loves Tecmo Bowl, so let's start playing. I'm the Raiders. I'm Bo Jackson. And hopefully he'll show up.
That's no fair. Bo Jackson's too fast.
Bye-bye.
See, Peter, he's too fast.
He might do this.
I don't know. A lot of football still to be played here.
I'm hitting reset. I hate this.
A zig. A touchdown. Yeah. I won the game. And now I'm going to jump Bo Jackson.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
That sounded like, what was that, Family Guy?
Hey, look at this.
I didn't know if it was Family Guy or the Cleveland show.
I knew. I've heard you mention Cleveland once. One time you said something about it, and I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to try this. I was even telling DeMond earlier, I was like, I know he's not a big TV guy, but
nah.
I always mention, yes, that is them playing Tecmo Bowl with, as you know, Mr. Birthday Boy Bo Jackson is impossible to stop. I don't know if you played Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. You do a sweep on the outside and Bo Jackson was gone to the house.
There you go.
There was no doubt. That was the only thing you did in Tecmo Bowl. I used to love that game. But yeah, shout out to Bo Jackson. Happy birthday to him. Great running back in Raiders history. Funny, man. He was great. He was so great. But then you look at the numbers, you're like, wait, hold on. The numbers don't really stack up, but it's because he was, he didn't play a full season. But that dude could do anything he wanted to. He was so stinking talented, and I still remember that day he got injured. Man, that's I don't even want to relive that, so let's not do that. But a happy birthday to Bo Jackson, great Raider, great baseball player, just great athlete in general. Definitely thought that was a good one, man. Good rejoin right there. Funny, when you did that, though, and I heard that, I don't know why, and maybe, I don't know, but I automatically thought of Clay as well. As soon as I heard like Family Guy or whatever like that, I pictured Clay Baker, which reminded me that he is at the Sahara Las Vegas tonight for Thursday Night Football. So good segue right there.
You're welcome.
5 to 8 p.m., Clay Baker will be out and about. He'll be there checking out Thursday Night Football. You could be there with him. Chickies and Pete's is fantastic, a place that I like to frequent and go get some great food. There's not a bad seat in the house to watch all the action. Clay does a fantastic job out there each and every Thursday. He's got a ton of prizes, so definitely go check him out. But, yeah, there you go. That was a great way to tie it all together. Ari, you hooked it up without even knowing that you were hooking it up right there, but you did a good job. So check out Clay 5 to 8 p.m. again at the Sahara Las Vegas inside Chickies and Pete's for Thursday Night Football. 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line. We do have defensive line coach Rob Leonard. You'll hear from him in just a few minutes. And Raider Ray just hung up. Well, we had Raider Ray in Seattle, and all of a sudden he got stage fright. It's okay. That's okay, man. Don't worry about it. You call back. It's all good. We're all friends, Ray. Nothing to worry about, man. You can go ahead and call us. I just talked about going to Durant Square. So if I go to Durant Square, you're good to go, brother. You can hit us up at any time at 702-365-9200 at thedon'tbebroke.com. Text line 69187, keyword RNR. Let's go ahead and hear from defensive line coach Rob Leonard when he met with the media earlier this week.
Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, I know anytime you're the 76 overall, for sure, but there's going to be a lot of attention paid to you.
Of course.
But there's still a process as well.
Of course.
Of development. What have you seen, for Tyree in terms of that development?
Hard work. I think he's become his hardest critic and been able to look at himself and give an honest evaluation. Development. You know, I think he was, to be honest with you, humbled a little bit early and really responded in the right way, controlling what he can, stuff like that.
In what ways would you say that he was humbled?
Everybody has expectations going into this league on how they envision themselves, and then reality can be a little bit different in this league, making the jump from college. And I've worked with Jalen Phillips in Miami, Adafe Owe at Baltimore, other first round picks, and it's sometimes tell these guys, I said, you know, it's not your fault. Like you guys are. They're recruited at such a young age. They walk on the field. They look a certain way. They just run by different players because they can. And when you get to the NFL, it's the best versus the best. It's your technique versus his technique. There's a process to that. You know, how to deal with grown men and being blocked in this league. And he's been awesome in terms of his attitude and not focusing on the results, which everybody wants to see, but just staying at it. And he's been great.
Another rookie that we haven't gotten a chance to see too much of is Byron Young, defense tackle you guys drafted. What have you guys seen from him kind of behind the scenes in terms of how he's coming along?
Same thing. Byron's a pretty sound player. You know, I know he wants his shot to play. I know he wants to play more. I think Byron's the best thing for Byron right now, this year, that he's benefited from is watching Jank, watching Adam Butler, watching the way they go about their business every day. And not that he's far off at all, but this league's all about the details and getting to watch them. And those two have played at a high level, and it's a competitive deal. Byron's time will come. I told him this morning, I said, he's going to be a great player in this league. His opportunity is going to come.
Sometimes people look at it as a negative that he's maybe not dressing up, but I mean, there's a reason for that. There's players that are playing better that might that are in front of him, and he is on a development track. Is that a reminder that you have to give him and maybe some others that this isn't a bad thing that's happening right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't rush the process. It's a game. You just heard Ash talk about it. You're looking for consistency, right? And I'm like, well, I did it right here. Well, like, it's like batting percentage. Well, Jank does it at a pretty high level. He doesn't miss a back block ever. He plays a double team right pretty much at a high level. So you look at other guys and maybe you're 1 for 5 or what. You know, I don't know what the percentage is with Byron, but that's kind of what you're looking at as a coach. I know he's going to do his job and at a pretty high level. And I think they are pushing him to be even better.
I'm sure you had a perception of Max Crosby just from watching him before you got here, but what stood out the most about him now that you had the opportunity to work with him on a day-to-day basis?
How long does he have?
To be honest with you, man, I'm kind of speechless after this week of what I of what I witnessed that man go through. You know, he's special. He's special. And what he does for our room, for the football team, I mean, it means so much to him beyond my wildest imagination. And the guy's, you know, to use his quote, I don't know if he cares if I use that. He's like, I'll die before I don't play in this game, you know. And he's a special person.
Nessa Jade Silvera, another young player that's on the development track. What have you seen from him in terms of his development?
Nessa's same thing. I think Nesta has definitely some explosive, twitchy, good traits. Goes back to the consistency theme. kind of also being able to play multiple roles. He does certain things really, really well, and then other spots, from zero nose to shade to two eye to three technique, and learning all the spots and the different blocks he has, as well as working on his pass rush. But, you know, he's working hard. He flashes every day in practice, but kind of finding his home of where he fits best to get up to the 53. But he has infectious energy. Love that kid. He's great for our room. He's been great.
A couple of the players in the locker room, defense, said that Graham challenged him a couple of weeks ago to go from being a good defense to a great defense. In your opinion, as a defensive line coach, what are some things that your unit can do to kind of push forward to going from good to great?
Just dominate, play in, and play out. You know, run and pass game. Everybody knows what that looks like. You know, so I think there's times you go the first two series yesterday. I mean, we're out there playing at a pretty high level. First play of the game, we get the screen play, 15-yard loss, getting behind the sticks, and we're rolling. So keep executing like that. You know, like I said, not don't just consistency. I'm trying to avoid saying the same thing over and over, you know what I mean? But that's what dominant defenses do.
Defensive line coach Rob Leonard. I thought that was some really good stuff right there. Kind of scattershot with some rookies, starting off with Tyree Wilson. You heard how almost speechless he was when he talked about Max Crosby. But you heard him talk about Nesta Jade Silvera. You heard him talking about other young guys like Byron Young. I thought that was some really good, insightful stuff right there from defensive line coach Rob Leonard. And he was actually a guy that I was pretty excited about when the Raiders hired him. Remember, Frank Okham was the defensive line coach last year, and he got fired. And then they brought in Rob Leonard, and Rob Leonard's worked with some really, really good defensive line coaches. So, you know, you always hear Max Crosby giving his position coaches a lot of credit. He always talks about Rod Marinelli, talks about him quite a bit. But some of these other coaches, like Rob Leonard, they've done a really good job continuing to work with Max and really helping him take his game to the next level. But love what he was saying about Tyree. It was good to hear about Tyree's attitude. It's like the second time we've heard that he's been humbled, right? Antonio Pierce said that a couple weeks ago, that he's been humbled and he's coming to work with the right attitude and he's trying to do everything he can to get after it. I think that that's important. That is a really big deal. You want to have a guy, especially a young guy, that hasn't quite found his footing in the league. You want to make sure he's got the right attitude. So I think that's really good. And, again, similar to what Vinny said early in the show when he talked about Tyree Wilson, the fact that this offseason, man, he's got to get out there and work his tail off with Max Crosby. Just work, 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 work. Right? Wherever Max is at, he should just follow that. Follow that leadership. And doesn't mean that he can hang with that leadership, because I'm sure many can't, right? I mean, it's not just something that everyone could do, but you do everything you can to try to follow in that dude's footsteps, and you'll be all right. I really did like that a lot. Got a couple texts I want to get to real quick, 69187, keyword R&R. Got this one from Rob in Oakland. We're underutilizing one of the biggest weapons in the league, in part because our rookie quarterback is on a steep learning curve as he tries to beat professional coverages while having to learn the special Devontae coverages. In the last five games, I want Aiden to hit Devontae more consistently throughout the game on all levels. Slants, digs, and deep. This will depend on the offensive line, the playbook, and the play calling, but we can't continue wasting Devontae's special talents and expect to win big games. And, like another texter said, beat KC. I'd add sweep the donkeys again and put Herbert on his back. Thanks so much. That's Robin Oakland. And, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that I hate, is that you could tell that Devontae Adams isn't being maximized. Let's put it like that. His abilities, you know how great he is. Still one of the top two wide receivers, top three wide receivers in the league, but he's not maximizing who he is right now. The Raiders aren't taking advantage of his great skill set right now. And he's still having a decent year, even though he's not having, you know, the year that we all remember from a season ago. And one more quick text, then we'll take a break. This was from Vegas Pete. He said, Bo Jackson was the best athlete ever. Remember him throwing a guy out from the warning track in the air, snapping bats like they were twigs. Most just go down, but no, he was so strong, he dislocated his own hip trying to pull away. Who comes back to play after hip replacement? Only Bo. Vegas Pete right there. Great stuff. Definitely appreciate you. 443 is the time. Keep that feedback coming. 69187, keyword R&R, 702-365-9200. We'll come back, close out the show just like that. Shreya Nation Radio, 920.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Raider James, hit us up. I traveled from the Bay to my first game in Las Vegas last week versus the Chiefs, and there were at least 50% Chiefs fans tomahawk chopping in our stadium. What I need to see is this needs to be fixed if we intend to have home field competitive advantage. I was born and raised in Oakland and a former season ticket holder, so I know how home fans can impact the game. That's Raider James. And I'll tell you, it's been better this season, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. And there was a ton of red. There was a ton of Chiefs fans. It's been better this season, especially because the Raiders have been winning. But I kind of had a feeling that that was what that game was going to look like, only because of what's been going on the past couple seasons. And the last few times that the Chiefs have been in Allegiant Stadium, they've had their way. If you remember going back to the end of last year, what it looked like to the point where they started doing the whole little ring around the Rosies thing after the game or during the game. That was, you know, a lot of Raider fans were not too happy about that. The players didn't really care too much. They're just like, yeah, whatever. They can do whatever they do. But, yeah, that's something that's got to have to continue to grow. It's not going to happen overnight. Part of the solution is going to be winning. That helps. Also, it's Vegas, and there's going to be fans that are going to want to come here. As soon as they know that their team is playing, especially a team like the Chiefs and Broncos and Chargers, where they know for a fact, okay, we'll be there in Vegas some point next year, they're going to go and look on the calendar and say, okay, how can we get to that game? But other teams as well, teams that they just play that are randomly on the schedule, they're going to say, hey, my team's playing the Raiders on the road this year. Wherever that is, I'm going to that game. I want to go to Vegas. I want to spend 3 days in Las Vegas and end it with a game at Allegiant Stadium. Again, winning will help that a little bit. And also not when Raider fans have tickets, not just selling them to just anybody. But with that being said, I get it. I'm not going to tell anyone don't make some money. If you're not going to go to the game, if you don't plan on going to a game, and someone wants to buy your tickets for a whole lot of money, I can't get mad at you. Right? I mean, who could get mad at that? So it's a fine line. It's not going to be it's not going to be like Philadelphia, right, where you just know that you go into Philly and it's nasty, right? It's not going to be like that. I mean, it's Vegas. It's a different animal. It's not going to be like Oakland. It's not supposed to be like Oakland. It's a different animal. It's just kind of what it is. So there's always going to be some of the other fans in the building, right? It just depends on what the Raiders as a team, the guys on the field, what they're going to do. If they're going to start winning consistently, and look, before that game against Kansas City, they were 4-1 at home. The only loss they had at home was against the Chiefs, or against the Steelers in week 3. Now they've got this one as well. So, they got a few more games left. We'd like to see the majority of the fans, again, be Raider fans, but you kind of know how it goes from time to time, especially here in Las Vegas. Speaking of Las Vegas, let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Marv, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Marv?
Hey, good evening. So, for the guy that just sent the message about the fans,
yep,
flooding our stadium.
Yep.
Man, these dudes is making a killing out here off these tickets.
Yep.
That's why that's happening. I've made a little money this year myself off the tickets because I have refused to go to a game while Josh McDaniels was the coach because I didn't like the way he set Derek Carr up last year. That's just my opinion on that, right?
Yeah.
But, one other thing I want to say is, man, can we run to the wide side of the field instead of running to the short side of the field all the time? Let's give our running back a chance to outrun a defensive end to where he's one-on-one with a cornerback, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
And okay.
I appreciate you taking my call.
I appreciate the call, Marv. Thanks so much. And, yeah, again, like I said, that's why I can't get mad at anyone who's selling the tickets because, like, if you buy the tickets, if you spend the money to have season tickets, the personal seat license and all that, that's a huge investment. So if at some point you decide, I don't want to go, like Marv said, I didn't like the way that the game was going. I didn't like Coach McDaniels. I wasn't going to go back. So he's selling his tickets. I can't get mad if he makes the most, right? And the most comes from a guy that's a fan of the Chiefs or a fan of the Broncos or a fan of the Chargers. I can't get mad at that. You know, and it would be foolish for any of us to say, oh, no, I wouldn't make that money. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Every time. Every time. You can sell your tickets at face value to a Raider fan, or you can sell them for three or four times the value to a Charger fan. I'm pretty stinking sure you're going to take the three or four times the face value of that ticket, just because that's just natural. But to his point about the play on the field, it's funny, one of my plays that I hate the most is when, and this is for any team, this is not just the Raiders, this is any team, when the quarterback rolls out to the short side of the field. I hate it, especially in the red zone. I feel like you've totally limited yourself to what you could do. Every time I see that, a lot of times I'll see it on like fourth down, the quarterback will all of a sudden roll out to the short side of the field. I'm like, what are you doing? You literally have like one to two dudes most that you could throw it to. Now, I get special quarterbacks can throw the ball back across the field, but we know how dangerous that is. I cannot stand when quarterbacks roll out to the short side of the field. But with that being said, he's talking about the running backs and going to the wide side. I would say this. I'd like to see more action in between the tackles than I would even some of the action outside. Or the way that Jacobs hit that 63-yard run, took it to the house. I'd like to see, you know, plays like that, more of those stretches like that, as opposed to kind of the sweeps and the tosses, because more times than not, the blocking is just not there. You know, but I get the short side of the field, what you're talking about. I like to see you have a little bit more real estate to work with. But it seems like sometimes when you have more real estate to work with, all of a sudden, you know, like Josh or whoever is going to try to make a play and try to wiggle out of it and maybe end up losing some yardage. So the run game just hasn't been dominant like it was a year ago. There's been a few opportunities here and there, and you've seen Jacobs take advantage of it when he can. So thanks so much, Marv, for that call. Appreciate you. Vegas Pete said, and we'll close out with this, we had a huge home advantage in Oakland and we're last in NFL in wins. Las Vegas is the most expensive ticket, plus everyone loves to visit our city. That's facts. That's facts. And look, I went to the very last game in Oakland against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and there was more Jaguar jerseys there than I even knew existed. Right? I didn't know there was that many Jaguar fans. Now, they were all on the visitor side, but there was a ton of them out there in Oakland. So, I mean, I get what it was. Obviously, it wasn't like it is here. Right, where a lot of fans, like Vegas Pete just said, love to come to Vegas and love to be in the city for multiple days. And, oh, yeah, by the way, see their favorite football team take on the Raiders at beautiful Allegiant Stadium. So there's that. It's just something that you have to deal with from time to time, and that's just what it is until it's not what it is. So thanks so much for the text. Thanks so much for the calls. All the guests that we had on the show, we appreciate them. We'll talk to you tomorrow, closing the week out on Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a good one.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.